This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, let's not mess around. We have bigger and better things to do and many fish to fry. And here he is.
Burning platform, fired up by Nando's on CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, Mr. Malala.
Good morning, guys.
How are we?
All good, man. Yeah.
No, listen.
It's all good if you're not Zimbabwean. That is,
yeah.
I mean, if you're in Zimbabwe, it's absolute, it's mad.
I was talking to a Zimbabwean friend of mine last night. He showed me pictures of the Parliament building.
Yeah, yeah.
With flames coming out of the windows.
No, there were flames all over. I mean, there were flames from some of the townships around Bulawayo are just crazy. The roads blockaded. You'd never have thought you'd see this in Zimbabwe. Because Zimbabwe has always had this, oh, I'm the big man, and you don't, the rule of law, well, the rule of law for one person, all that stuff. It's been locked down since 1980.
Right.
And now you're seeing scenes that I must say I haven't thought I'd see in Zimbabwe anytime soon. But perhaps we should have expected it. If you rule the way Robert Mugabe has done, the 1980s were characterized by fear, by wholesale murder of particularly people from Bulawayo and the Ndebele-speaking areas. If you look at the 1990s economic collapse, calling in the IMF and World Bank, the 2000s clamping down on protest, on free and fair elections, on the media, and now the 20s, then no, what do we call this decade?
We call them I don't know what this is called. Let's just pretend we don't know for now.
We don't know,
because the names they have given them are stupid, like the noughties.
That one. So you know, it's always going to come. If whatever one might say, all along Robert Mugabe has managed to cling on to power because of patronage. So he will pay some civil servants, he will pay all of them, and he keeps them going, keeps them loyal and so forth. But, you know, people can eat all this rhetoric. Oh, you know, my British, oh, blah, blah, all this. People can eat that. People have to send their kids to school. People have to eat, have to put something on the table. If that's not happening, it's, you know, every country will explode, implode, collapse. So in Zimbabwe, we're seeing that. People haven't been paid. Civil servants haven't been paid. Some allegedly have been paid. But largely, nurses were not paid, were not at work yesterday. Teachers haven't been paid. And this actually goes back to the 2000s. Soldiers, the army. Very soon, that army will turn around and say, what's going on? Everyone else is saying, we haven't been paid, and they're doing something about it. Well, we haven't been paid either. So I think what's happening in Zimbabwe, I'm not saying it's going to collapse. Robert Mugabe, all 92 years of him, is a formidable leader. He knows how to stay, how to cling on to power. But I think that we can begin to talk about a Zimbabwe without Robert Mugabe and what that would be like, and whether that country can hold itself together to allow a rebuilding of the economy, of civil society, of just ordinary people raising their kids, making their lives, and hoping for a better tomorrow.
But isn't a Zimbabwe without Robert Mugabe going to be a Zimbabwe with Grace Mugabe?
Well, that used to be there. That still is pretty much the narrative. Certainly, a ZANU-PF without Robert Mugabe will be a ZANU-PF with Grace Mugabe, because increasingly she seems to be the person who is in charge. Joyce Mujuru has been kicked out. excuse me. Other leaders have been shunted aside. Right now, if you were one of those people who went to the Durban July last week, you'd say, here comes Grace Mujuru on the left, coming in quickly.
Yeah.
But she's certainly the
front. Joyce Mujuru, yeah.
Joyce Mujuru. So, no, Grace Mugabe.
Grace Mugabe, Joyce Mujuru
is out. Grace Mugabe would be the person who'd be your surest bet would lead ZANU-PF. Would the people of Zimbabwe, if you had a free and fair election, choose Grace Mugabe as that leader, would they choose ZANU-PF as the party of choice? We know that they won't, because in 2008, ZANU-PF was a minority in parliament. We know that in the 3 months after that parliamentary election, which ZANU-PF lost, people were beaten up, people were detained, people were killed, and therefore we had a result that said Robert Mugabe is still the president, because people were intimidated into it. So I think a free and fair election in Zimbabwe wouldn't lead to a ZANU-PF leadership or a Grace Mugabe leadership. I think you'd have a vastly changed landscape, and right now we don't really know what that would look like. But I think the days of ZANU-PF, I'm loath to say they're numbered, but you know, Zimbabwe either stays stuck in the rut that it's in, or it does something to change. And people this week, yesterday certainly, are saying we've had enough. And by all means, if you look at the state of that country, the state of its finances, the state of its SOEs, yes, it has collapsed.
Just by the way, in case you missed yesterday, at 7:30 we had the two guys who host Zim Conversations, which is our new show here in Cliff Central. They are both are very connected with the events back home in Zimbabwe, and they put the whole case forward for us in a very succinct and eloquent manner yesterday. So if you'd like to know from the Zimbabwean point of view how they're feeling about what's going on back home, and some quite revelatory things that they said there, in terms of how they feel it should be dealt with from here on in. You may want to listen to that podcast. Mm. So yesterday, just go and download the Zim Conversations interview on this show, or their show, which is also on the website. Yeah.
But you know, it's Gareth, how do we get used to a situation where it's normal to have a Zimbabwe Conversations show we are a global station, but but you have these things. I remember in the early 2000s, you have there was a radio station launched in the UK by Zimbabweans who'd fled home,
right?
So that they could broadcast into Zimbabwe because they couldn't do it from their own home. One of the most popular newspapers, outside of Zimbabwe, is sold here in South Africa. It was printed in the UK at some point. It's printed here in Joburg. Now, every Zimbabwean in South Africa, you'll see them holding it. It's a weekly. You know, this situation where you cannot speak in your own home, you cannot have these conversations that we have every day. The joy of being here in South Africa right now is that we're going to have a conversation about Saudi Mutswaneng, about President Zuma, about Musi Maimane. I'm not going to walk out of here and be bundled into a van and disappear for 3 months being tortured somewhere. And so whatever way you try to slice this Zimbabwean cake, the point of the matter is that something horrible has been going on in Zimbabwe, particularly since 2001-2002, when an election was stolen, clamping down on people. I remember in 2003-2004, essentially the whole of the independent press in Zimbabwe was shut down. New newspapers, the Daily News, others, boom, gone. And people were in South Africa. We need to talk again about the fact that when we say there are protests at Bait Bridge and so forth, it's Zimbabweans who have fled their home country. And whatever you try to say about, this or that, at the end of the day, they are fleeing from Robert Mugabe's rule over the past 36 years. And we have to confront that and say, where's the problem? The problem is with Robert Mugabe and the way he's run that country.
Well, there's lots to talk about and keep an eye on there as well. Mutambi, Faith Mutambi, and the SABC board are the second point of interest. We spoke at length last week about how we feel about the SABC's demise and how we feel about the kind of management there. And it seems Jackson Mtembu heard us.
You have to love Jackson, huh? He was beautiful. He was beautiful. I wish you had that clip where he said, not every Tom, Dick, Dick, Harry.
Yeah, no, not every Tom, Dick, and Harry can run a major state asset like this.
Indeed, indeed.
But we've got a total dick running it right now.
Not my words, not my words.
I'll say it.
but close to my words. Mm-hmm. I have to say, that press conference that Jackson Mtembu held, in which he was beautiful about the principle of what happens with a public broadcaster, the principle that you can't censor news, you can't appoint yourself the big daddy or big mama of all of us and tell us, oh, I won't show you this, I won't show you that.
And then claim that you don't know what censorship even means.
That it's not African.
It's so insulting.
It's mediocre. It's just, we have to stop and say, guys, we are better than this. This it's mediocre. It's so small-minded and it's terrible. Anyway, so he comes out and says, you know, back to basics, what are we about? What is the SABC about? And it's about ordinary people getting information every day. You can't have a situation where ordinary people whose only source of information, largely, one day they'll have broadband and have access to other platforms. But in the meantime, if you're in Vuani, you probably have SABC 1, 2, 3 plus one or two of the radio stations on from the SABC. Otherwise, it's a total blackout for you. If the SABC is not allowing you to see what's happening in Tshwane or in PE and elsewhere, then essentially you're flying blind. How are you going to vote? How are you going to make an informed choice on August 3? So I thought he was great. I thought he's my hero of the week. He was beautiful.
But are we to believe Jackson? Because at the same time, we hear different utterances from the ANC Youth League. We hear different utterances from Faith Mutambi herself. We remember Baba loves him so much. That's about
so
Laudi. Who do we believe here?
The key thing for me is to understand what's going on inside the ANC. And this, when your question about who should we believe him, it's that he is on the other side of two factions. One faction has essentially said it's a statist function. It's people who are in charge right now. And it's a faction that's built around President Zuma that says we are going to use the state-owned enterprises, these assets of the state like the SABC.
Or Eskom for the Guptas or Prasa or any of that stuff. Yeah.
To enrich ourselves and to keep ourselves in power.
Right.
What is happening at the SABC is fantastic for some people because it keeps many of our fellow countrymen and women ignorant,
stultified,
unaware of what's happening, what's really happening in this country. And so you have that faction which supports people like Minister Faith Mtambi, Saudi Mutsuening and others, people who don't believe in the principles of what the public broadcaster should stand for, but see it as merely a tool to hang on to power and to protect their financial interests. So that is the one side of the coin. So you have your ANC Youth League jumping up and down. Then on the other side of the coin, you have your Jackson Mtembus, you have the SACP, you have some elements in COSATU, but very few saying no, we got to stop. This is not right. We must do proper things.
Saying what?
No. That is what Jackson Mtembu was saying, basically. It's still my favorite clip.
So in other words, now we're starting to see public utterances that mirror the internal conflict.
Thank you very much.
That, and this is
that,
good.
That, well, this is good, but it means several things. The first one is that we must expect to see more. So long as the ANC is not united, you're going to see in the public space all these weird
contradictions.
Contradictions. And so when the battle is not being won inside the ANC, when the battle is raging inside the ANC, then it goes out into the public sphere. So you have the extra, if you think about it, and you're a member of the ANC, you had Zizi Gordwa last week saying Jimmy Matthews was one of the people trying to destabilize our SABC. It's so beautiful.
Exactly. Now, aren't you a little disappointed in Zizi Gordwa? Because he actually used to be, I mean, he used to be someone who, you know, he spoke to people. Now he's become a bit of a demagogue.
Yeah, but, you know, Zizi's had quite an interesting trajectory in the ANC and ANC Youth League. Remember, he was in the Fikile Mbalula ANC Youth League that supported and fought for Jacob Zuma to come to power in 2007. Mm-hmm. He's the man who famously said, if you want to see who the owner of the dog is, just beat up the dog and stuff like that. So in a way, he goes through ups and downs, because immediately after that he becomes Jacob Zuma's spokesperson. Remember, he was the president's spokesperson, and he was the flavor of the month at Mahlamba Ndlovu in the Union Buildings. And then, you know, then he left because he gave some advice that many other people didn't like. So I'm not sure that I would say I'm disappointed. I'd say it's yet another page in the Zizi Gordwa playbook, you know. It's sometimes he comes up and it's on principle, and sometimes it's, well, you know, you're defending a line, and it's a sad, miserable little line, but it's a line that you're defending. And I think last week he was doing that. Unfortunately, he was on the wrong side of history, and I think that will be proven with time. Certainly what happened with Jackson Mthembu this week shows that he is not down with the people, or rather with the committee that he should be speaking to, primarily the communications committee.
Isn't it interesting, too, to see the Zuma loyalists who are now flailing and taking their last gasps and doing the most outrageous and desperate things that give away the game? In effect, the more stupid ill-informed their decisions and the more ridiculous their public pronouncements, the more it gives away the fact that that side of the ANC is losing the battle.
I'm not sure that it's losing the battle. I'm not sure.
It certainly doesn't inspire you with confidence that these people are, you know, comfortable in control.
Well, they're certainly fighting fighting for their side of the factions. I think what you're seeing is more the, well, you know, I don't know if one should call them the good guys, but I'll call them the good guys. The good guys keep on coming up, but they keep on being swatted aside. And the Zuma ship, which is incredible and amazing, just keeps on going. Yeah. So you might say, take a guy like Nathi Nhleko, the police minister. I mean, that man and his presentation and the music, oh, Sole Mio, and defending Gandla. And now he's been so comprehensively just exposed, okay? Mm-hmm. But he's still going on, and it's all fine, and it's all hunky-dory. So I don't know if the good guys, I think they make the nice noises every so often, but I think the power inside the ANC and inside the National Executive Committee of the ANC is still tilted heavily towards Jacob Zuma. And so when it comes to making decisions and to saying this is the line, they win. And so they are morally and ethically bankrupt in many, many instances. Mm-hmm. And they have been exposed in society that they've lost it, and yet they're still ahead.
All right, then there's some other things we need to get to. Let's move away from the SABC and from Jackson for just a second. Why is Nelson Mandela being used as a football, and why is he so important to the ANC, the DA, The only ones who are not claiming him are the EFF at this stage, because Julius has made clear that he doesn't think he's some kind of messiah. But what's this messianic quality that the DA and the ANC so desperately want to rub off on them?
The EFF has Thabo Mbeki, so yeah. You know, they're good with that.
Yeah.
You know, Nelson Mandela was so iconic, and he came out and his views on race, reconciliation, and so forth and so forth. So in many ways, the idea of the new South Africa is the idea of Nelson Mandela and what he embodied. In an election like this one, where ideas are becoming contested, where the space of what is good and right and upstanding is contested, in a situation where people can point at, say, President Zuma and say he doesn't embody the principles of Nelson Mandela and so forth. The memory of Nelson Mandela becomes very, very important. The memory of... memory of Nelson Mandela becomes a huge, huge... draw card. Many people want the South Africa that Nelson Mandela wanted. Many people say, you know, we thought we were on the right track. What's happening now, 22 years into this democracy? There are two things here. One, the ANC, whatever one might say, if you ask many, many people why, and if you listen to the ANC adverts for this election, it's, wow, the ANC fought for me. So the ANC and Nelson Mandela are history. It's almost like it's in the blood. It's how can you turn back on more than 100 years of struggle history? So when the ANC saw the DA use Nelson Mandela's voice and words in an advert,
she's like, where, cross.
Mandla Mandela went ballistic. The ANC was very, very angry. The ANC in Gauteng, I believe, has put in protested at the equality at the electoral court. It's all go. It's, man, you don't do that. If the ANC loses the idea of Nelson Mandela and the idea that it was key to the liberation of all South Africans, then its history is being chipped away, and that means that what else does it have? It has to show that it's delivering on the ground. When people are protesting and so forth and so forth, then it becomes difficult to justify that you are actually delivering. So history is still a big, big thing. Many, many people are being convinced to stay with the ANC or the PAC even, or AZAPO, because, well, we fought for you. That is why the ANC is absolutely ballistic about Nelson Mandela's...
But it is clear. I mean, if we're going to call him the Jesus of our politics, and let's use this, just extend this metaphor for a moment, even if it's uncomfortable for some, because there is some quality of this to be attributed to his legacy. All right, if he is like the Jesus of South African politics, and people often walk around with those bracelets that say, "What would Jesus do?" If the bracelet said, "What would Madiba do?" I think we know the answer. He was an ANC man through and through.
Yeah.
He believed in the movement. He didn't necessarily agree with all of it, but that's true for everyone in the movement.
Yeah.
He would undoubtedly have backed the ANC in this and every election until, you know, his demise or even the afterlife. But that is not to say that he would agree with everything they were doing.
Yes.
So it is complicated.
It's very complicated.
No one can know the mind of a dead man.
No, and you know, if you want it really, the ANC has used this line before, but Nelson Mandela said once that when he gets upstairs, he will be looking around for the ANC branch to join. If there isn't one, he'll start one. So that is one side of the coin. But many people, like the DA, want a bit of struggle history themselves. So they will, what they did about 2 years ago with the Helen Suzman advert saying, you know, Helen Suzman stood up in parliament for so many years for the release of Nelson Mandela and so forth and so forth. So,
but Helen Suzman, I mean, you know, you can claim that, but the DA's history is short. The DA as an organization is very, very short. And it was the DP before that. Before the DP, it was another thing.
Yeah, but that shows you how important memory is still is in our politics, how important the struggle still is. So some of us must sit here and say 22
years. It's now the stuff of myth. Unfortunately, there are not enough people actually studying the history of it. Yeah, as far as fact can be ascertained, so it becomes a mythical thing.
But that the DA is not, to be fair to them, they are not saying, oh, we have a piece of history here, which they have claimed, a piece of struggle history. They're saying, oh, what do the great fighters say today when they look around at this? And they're trying to appeal to the same thing that the ANC is appealing to, only saying, stay true. We are the natural successors. Whether one believes them or not is a whole thing altogether.
It's like when a great king dies and his two children start to squabble about the throne.
Yes, in this case, you have the neighbor's child. I would say it's not quite
the illegitimate child.
Yeah, but just, you know, if you'd just go back to 2009. And what the struggle means and what the struggle icons mean, when COPE walked away from the ANC and called itself Congress of the People. Now, that was the meeting where the Freedom Charter was adopted in 1955 in Clipton. So the ANC said, you cannot take my piece of history. That is so iconic in our language, in our history, and so forth. Don't touch me there. And they went to court, they fought about it and so forth. Even the colors that COPE took, the fact that COPE had black, green, gold, and all the other things that COPE spoke about and so forth. So this, in a way, if you look at that fight over that ad, it really is about history and how steeped, how the past is still very much with us in South Africa. And I think in our politics, and I think it's going to stay so for a significant amount of time. We are going to be battling about history for a while.
The last thing I want to talk about is all these also-ran parties, the smaller ones. Let's say that the elections will be ANC, DA, EFF, UDM to a degree, perhaps COPE will still have a role, the IFP maybe, but the rest we can discount now from the process in any way but as a curiosity.
I think even the ones, the small Anyana ones you've mentioned, the UDM, you know, if you think about the UDM started off at about 3.8%, I think, in 1999. As of the last election, it was at about 0.8%.
Yeah,
it
shrunk, yeah.
The IFP has been totally outmaneuvered, outzulued even by the ANC in KwaZulu-Natal. I mean, yeah. it's
And we did see a would-be successor in the NFP.
In the NFP.
Magwaza Msibi, right?
Yes.
Have we found her, by the way? We know she's around.
We know she's around. We know that she's recovering from her stroke. But the key thing about this, so the NFP says, sits there and there's an election coming up, okay? And you know that for you to run and you say our candidate is Mabale, you got to pay some cash to the IEC. They forget. They just don't do it. And then someone wakes up later and says, geez, guys, what's happened here? We need someone pay the money. And what's going on? And so they try to go to the IEC, try to force the IEC to, you know, take their money and take their candidates list. Goes to electoral court on Saturday. It's the electoral court says, no, Baba, you're late. This is it. Today, 2 days ago on Tuesday, they started printing the ballot papers, and so the NFP is out. Wow. Now, there are several things going on with the NFP. I have to tell you, the NFP was born into the 2011 elections, local elections. It did very well because Magwaza Msibi was a deputy president of the IFP, and Mangosuthu wouldn't allow her to succeed him, and so she went off on her own. And a lot of people were saying, this lady has something to say, she's... You know, she was interesting. 2014, also, She did pretty okay. And then became a deputy minister in President Zuma's cabinet. You know, there was something there. But with this, imagine if you're an NFP councillor and you had a chance of winning Ngungundlovu or whatever municipality that you're running. And suddenly your name is not even on the ballot paper. It's not there. What are you going to do? I'm going to go to the IFP and say, oh, guys, you remember me from the past. We were so good together. Oh, da-da-da. Some other guys will go to the IFP and say, guys, do you remember me? We were so good together. Because you're not in play at all.
Right.
So you have all these NFP politicians who are just going to run for the hills. And I think that party is gone. Boom. Gone.
And do you think that may mean a small uptick in the IFP again?
IFP, maybe DA. ANC is powerful because if the ANC keeps winning, it's very powerful at patronage. It will give you a position, unlike the IFP, whose chances are not as good. And so I think the ANC in KwaZulu-Natal, certainly where the NFP has been a big challenger, I think that the ANC, in fact, remember that the ANC declined in electoral support in 2009 everywhere except KwaZulu-Natal, where it has been growing massively over the past 16 years or so. And so I think the ANC will be the bigger beneficiary of that blunder by the NFP. But I think the NFP is basically
finished.
But the conversation I think one we should have over the next few weeks is, where's the PAC?
Yeah.
Where's AZAPO? Where are all these other parties which used to be massive? They're going to be wiped out, and they're going to be wiped out by the ANC, DA, EFF.
So we'll have a three-party system eventually.
I think we're going towards a three-party system. The smaller Nyana ones, they're going.
Thank you, Justice. The Burning Platform every Thursday with Justice Malala. It's brought to you by Nando's, and this morning is no exception.
This is CliffCentral.com.